Everlasting Father, Lord God Almighty, we are so grateful to you for this wonderful day, for a great moment that you have given unto us, that you have gathered us here, not for any other thing, but to study your word, but to believe in your word so that truly we can walk and we can do the work that you have called us to do. Father, here we are before you. It's a prayer of my heart that, O Lord, you will speak to us, O King of Glory. It's a passion of my heart that truly we shall be saved. And when we are saved, our families will be saved. When our families are saved, our countries will be saved. When our countries will be saved, the whole world will truly know that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Father, may you use me as a vessel for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name I do pray.
Amen.
Amen. We have come from far. Yesterday, we looked at the meaning of the gospel. What is the gospel? We saw that the gospel is Jesus is the Christ, and we saw the meaning of the Christ, that he is the true king, the true priest, and the true prophet. And also we saw the fundamental problems of mankind, that our problem is Satan, sin, and separation from God. This morning, Bishop Ismail has already told us, or has already showed us, the solution to the problem of Satan, and the solution to the problem of Satan is a true king. And who is this true king? Is Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. We are going to look at lecture number 14. We are looking at the true priest. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The true priest. I'm going to give the background of priesthood. Then we shall see the meaning of priesthood, what they did. Then later we are able to see who this true priest is all about. When we read the Pentateuch, or from the book of Genesis, the book of Deuteronomy, we see a record of so many priests in the Bible. When you look at Adam, Cain, Abel, Noah, Abraham, they offered sacrifices, but they offered sacrifices for their own. Or they had no specific priest who was offering sacrifices for them. So they stood to offer sacrifices for their own selves.
Yes.
When you look at the family heads acted as priests for their families. When we read Exodus chapter 12 verses 3, we see that this is a time of a Passover that the children of Israel are celebrating to leave Egypt, and God told them that you need to have a Passover celebration. So we see that each head of the family at that time sacrificed for his family. So we see that they acted as a priest for their families. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Then as we look into deep in the Deuteronomical books from Genesis to Deuteronomy, we see how God instituted the office of priesthood. When we read Exodus chapter 29, verses 9, it says, "And fasten caps on them, then tie chassis on Aaron and his sons. The priesthood is theirs by a lasting ordinance. Then you shall ordain Aaron and his sons." We are seeing God telling Moses that ordain Aaron and his sons. They will serve in the house of Israel to be priests forever for the people of God. So whoever sinned at that time, that those people could go to the priest, and the priest could sacrifice for their sins. So we see the tribe of Levi becoming the priest in Israel. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So what deep to understand the meaning of the priest, and who is this priest that we need to focus on, or who is this priest that God has given unto us so that truly he solves the problem of sin. Priest. Those in charge of offering sacrifice, priests acted as mediators between God and the people, offering sacrifice in people's behalf. So we are seeing the life of priests, the ministry of priests in the Old Testament, mainly the Deuteronomical books, that their work was to offer sacrifices on behalf of other people. They served in the altar of God so that whoever sinned would take a goat or any other animal so that his sins or her sins are atoned for. So their work of the priest was to stand to sacrifice for the sins of the people, because we have a problem of sin that needed to be solved, that needed a solution. That's why God instituted the office of priesthood in the Old Testament. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we want to focus on the duties of priesthood as we go through the Old Testament. What was their work? How were they serving the people of God? And how were they trying to solve the problem of sin? Number one, managing God's holy places or altar and taking charge of sacrifices. When you read Numbers chapter 16 verses 40, we see that this was the work of the priest. Their duty was to stand to guard the altars of God, to protect them, and also to offer sacrifices on behalf of the people. And their work was to show people that if you sin this kind of a sin, maybe you have to bring a pigeon, maybe you have to bring a lamb, maybe you have to bring a goat. So they were in charge of the altars of God. Number two, overseeing daily sacrificial offerings. When you read Numbers chapter 28, verses 3-4, we are seeing that this was also another duty of the priest, that their work was to guide the people in their daily sacrifice. Because in Israel, there were daily sacrifices, there were weekly sacrifices, and in most cases, whoever sinned could go to the priest to offer the sacrifice. So the work of the priest was to oversee, to guide the people towards this work of sacrificing for their sins. Number three, teaching the law of God to the people. Maybe let us read 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 3. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 3. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 3. It says, "For a long time Israel was without a true God, without a priest to teach, and without the law." So when you look at the duty of the priest in the Old Testament, their work was to teach the children of Israel the law of the Lord. They were the custodians of the law. This was their duty. That's why we see that in Israel, every child who grew up at least knew the law of God, knew from Genesis to Deuteronomy. So this was all the duty of priests every day as they served the people of God in Israel. They were the custodians of the law of God, to guard and to teach people of God. Then when we read Exodus chapter 20, verses 30, they always thought for the will of God, or they were seeking the will of God. May we read Exodus chapter 28, verses 30. We can begin from verses 29. Exodus 28. If someone is there, you can read. Begin from verses 29.
Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place, for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart, when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Verse 31.
You can leave in 30. So we see here that the duty of the priest was always to seek for the will of God in the people, so that truly they direct people to do what God wants them to do. Then another responsibility was regulating the deceased. When we read Leviticus chapter 14, verses 2, we see that if someone maybe had a skin disease, for example leprosy, that person would go to the priest and the priest would prescribe to that person what he or she is supposed to do in order for that person to be cleansed from his skin disease and also many other diseases that attack the children of Israel. Another duty is taking upon the role of the judge. We see that the priest of Israel were also at the same time working as the judges of the people. So whoever sinned, or if someone has taken a case to the judge and the case has become more complicated, that case is brought to the priest, and the priest will go and seek the will of God, so that after seeking the will of God, he gives a real verdict for that case. And this is also another duty of the priest at the time of Israel. Another duty is testing whether a wife was unfaithful or not. When we read the book of Numbers, chapter 5 from verses 11 following, we see that if a woman is accused that she was unfaithful and she is refusing, so there is like a jealousy, or a husband is jealousy of her. So in order to prove that really she committed the sin, the woman would be taken to the priest. And when she's taken to the priest would make her to appear before the Lord. And she would be given water, she would be cleansed with water, and the priest pronounces curses upon him, that woman or that lady. So if really she committed the sin, adultery, the curses will fall on her. But if she had not committed adultery, she will be set free. So this was also another duty of the priest. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Another duty is giving offerings for the cleanness of the Nazarite. Are we together? So when you look at the work of the Nazarite, these are the people who are dedicated to serve the Lord. Those ones who have said that for me, I will put myself in the service of the Lord. So in the case the Nazarite sinned, because the Nazarite was not supposed to cut his hair, the Nazarite was not supposed to see a dead body, the Nazarite was not supposed to drink alcohol. So in the case a Nazarite sees a dead body, a Nazarite would go to the priest and the priest would cleanse him. It's also another duty of the priest. When you look into taking part in the offering made for special vows, this was also another duty of the priest. Last number 10, they blew the horns to announce times of celebration or war, and gave blessings in the name of God. When we read Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 to 27, we all see this, that the work of the priest was to bless the children of Israel, to speak blessings, see, to them. So these are the few duties of the priest that are recorded here, but there are so many. As you read the Deuteronomical books from Genesis to Deuteronomy, the priest performed so many duties. But what is a sad point about this priest? What is the focus of this lecture? Point number 3 here. When we read Malachi chapter 2 verses 7, for the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty. People seek instruction from his mouth. This is what God expected from the priest, because they were the custodians of the law of God. They were supposed to stand as role models to teach people the way of God, and their mouth was always to speak the truth. But this became something else to the priest of Israel. That's why when we see the life of Eli as a priest, his sons were not righteous before God. And there were so many things that happened to the children of Israel because the priests themselves sinned against God. Because the priests themselves were not righteous before the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. But the priests were supposed to be the ones to preserve knowledge. They were supposed to be the wisdom of God. They were supposed to offer sacrifice for the sins of the people. But the priests themselves were not perfect. The priests themselves did not stay in the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Priests were not perfect. Priests were not perfect. Hebrews chapter 7 verses 27 to 28. The Bible says, unlike other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day. First for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. What is the point here? That the other priest, they could offer sacrifices day after day. Not just offering sacrifices day after day. They themselves were sinful. So before they could offer for the sins of the people, they first had to offer for their own sins. Hallelujah. Amen. This was how sad it was. They were not sinful. Why? Because they were also human beings like us. Verses 28, for the law appoints us high priest men in all their weaknesses, but the oath which came after the law appointed a son who has been made perfect forever. What is the point here? That for the law appoints us high priest men in all their weaknesses. So we see that these men are appointed, they are working as priests because they are from the tribe of Levi, but they are all human beings. They have weaknesses. Though they are serving the house of the Lord, they are serving the altar of God, but they are not perfect. They are not perfect. When we read Hebrews chapter 10 verses 11, the Bible says, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices which can never take away the sin. This is how sad it is. It is not something that is done once, day after day. Then, not just day after day, here there is a word that stands. When someone is standing, it means that his duties are continuing. He's doing it every day, not just once. It is now his responsibility, his culture, he's doing the same thing day after day, time after time. But what is it? The Bible tells us it is the same sacrifice day after day, that which can never take away sins. How sad it is. Animals were dying day after day. Birds were dying day after day. But these animals could never atone for the sins of the people. They could never solve the problem of sin. That's why the children of Israel kept in the state of guilt, because the law, or because the work of priests, could not bring to an end the problem of sin. And sin remained in them. That's why God had punished them several times, because they remained in sin, and the sacrifice of the priest could never atone for the sins. It was something repeated time after time. How sad to do something for a long period of time and that thing that you're doing is not perfect. That thing that you're doing is not a solution to that problem. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is a sad point of it. Leviticus chapter 4 verse 3. If the anointed priest sins, bring a guilt on the people, he must bring to the Lord a young bull without defect as a sin offering for the sin he has committed. So this shows us that the priest also could sin, because they were not perfect. So before they could offer a sacrifice for the sins of the people, they would first offer a sacrifice for themselves. Hallelujah. This was how sad it is. So you're relying on a person who is just like you. Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 31. The prophet prophesied lies. The priests rule by their own authority. And my people love it this way. But what will you do in the end? What will you do in the end? So when you look into the ministry of priesthood, when you look into the ministry of prophet, you see that really they were also sinners. There was nothing good in them too. They were not following the way of God. They were supposed to be the custodians of the law, living by example, doing the work of God. But they were human beings who are also sinful. They are all from the descendant of Adam. Therefore, sin still ruled them too. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Point number 4, a true priest. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So because these priests were not perfect, because they were sinful, because they had also to offer for the sins of the people, God spoke about the coming of that true priest. About the coming of the true priest. There are prophecies about the true priest who will come to give an end to the problem of Satan. I mean to the problem of sin. The true priest who solves sin once, eternally and perfectly. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 to 6. The Bible says, but he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like a sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So there was a prophecy that the Messiah will come, who is that true priest, who will offer himself, who will offer his own body as a solution to the problem of sin. So God, through Isaiah, God showed Isaiah this before the coming of the Messiah. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12, the Bible says, when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. There is something I want us to see here. When you looked into Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11, he told us that the other priest, after, even if they could offer a sacrifice, but they were standing. But here the Bible is telling us that this priest offered a sacrifice first once for all, as a solution to the problem of sin. And the Bible says he sat
at the right hand of the throne of God. It means it is finished. Hallelujah. It means everything is done. He's now seated because the work is accomplished. The problem of sin has been solved. And he solves this one forever. He solves it perfectly because he is the true priest that God had promised from the beginning. That the problem of sin will be solved by only Jesus, who is the Christ, who is the true priest. And he solves this eternally once for all.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 14. The Bible says, "For by one sacrifice he has made it perfect forever those who are being made holy."
It is only one sacrifice. The sacrifice on the cross, when he said it is finished, he gave himself as a solution to the problem of sin once for all. So he makes us perfect. The perfection comes only through him, only through believing in him.
So Jesus that we're talking about, he is the true priest who has solved the problem of sin. So this was a prophecy about, speaking to us, showing us that the true priest will solve the problem of sin. Let us see more about this priest so that we understand him well. Hallelujah. Amen. The true priest who follows the order of Melchizedek. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 4 verses 18. Chapter 14 verses 18. The Bible says, "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High."
When you read Genesis chapter 14, the story of Melchizedek is very short. I think it's only two verses.
And what happened here, that when Lot was captured, Abraham went to fight in order to rescue his nephew Lot. After rescuing his nephew Lot, we see that he met Melchizedek on the way. When Abraham met Melchizedek, the Bible tells us that Abraham offered tithes to Melchizedek. After offering tithe to Melchizedek, Melchizedek blessed Abraham. If Melchizedek blessed Abraham, therefore Melchizedek is greater than Abraham.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Melchizedek is greater than Abraham.
Yes.
And the writer of Hebrews tells us that if Melchizedek is greater than Abraham, and Abraham offered a sacrifice offered tithe to Melchizedek, therefore even Aaron, the Levites, all the Levites paid the tithes to Melchizedek. Why? Because they are all the descendants of Abraham. Hallelujah. They are all the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, Melchizedek is greater than Abraham and is greater than all the priests in the Old Testament. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 3, "Without a father or a mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever."
Amen.
Hallelujah.
When you look into Melchizedek, the Bible does not tell us the background of Melchizedek.
Yeah.
Just then the Bible here is comparing Jesus and Melchizedek. The Bible is telling us that like Melchizedek, without the genealogy, without the father, Jesus becomes a true priest forever. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And when you look into the life of Jesus, Jesus is not from the tribe of Levi. He is from the tribe of Judah. Therefore, he is a priest not by human will or not in something edited, but it was pointed by God. It was chosen by God because he's the anointed one of God to be a priest forever to solve the problem of sin.
So he is a true priest who solved the problem of sin in the line or in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron, not from the tribe of Levi, because the tribe of Levi could not bring a solution to the problem of sin. So we are seeing Jesus coming from the tribe of Judah. So his priesthood is unique. His priesthood is different. It's not the priesthood of Aaron.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 110 verses 4. "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." A priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 6 verses 20. "Where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Maybe let us read verses 19 before verses 20. Hebrews chapter 6 verses 19. Hebrews 6 19 says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Then verses 20 tells us where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So he has. We have hope. We have faith that we can enter into the throne of God. Why? Because we have the high priest who has gone through the curtain. The Bible tells us that when he called the last voice, that Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Bible says the curtain hanging from Jerusalem was torn from up to bottom, meaning we are free to enter into the throne of God. So because of Jesus, who is the true priest, we are able to come to God. There is not a solution to the problem of sin.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus, the true priest. Jesus, the true priest. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12, the Bible says, he did not enter by means of blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. He did not enter by the means of blood of goats and animals, but he entered by his own blood, and he offered redemption for our sins. All our sins were forgiven. Why? Because of only what Jesus has done. So by our confession, by our faith that Jesus the Christ is missing, is that the true priest who has solved the problem of sin. So sin no longer holds our life. We are no longer subject to sin because we have Jesus who has solved the problem of sin. And he has solved it once for all perfectly. There is nothing to be added or need sacrifice. The Bible tells us that his body is a sacrifice for our sins. So when you look into it, he is at the same time a high priest, at the same time he is the lamb that takes away the sins of the world.
Hallelujah.
Mark chapter 10 verses 45 says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give him his life as a ransom for many. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 to 2, the Bible says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ, Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death.
So this is the perfection that we get. This is the satisfaction that we get. That the problem of sin is only solved by Jesus, who is the true priest.
Amen.
So we have a solution to sin. And the only solution to sin is to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He is that true priest who has entered the most holy place and he has paid for our sins one for all. So there is nothing you need, there is nothing I need other than believing in him as a true priest who has solved the problem of sin. So the problem of sin is no longer there because we believe in him. So if we believe in him, the problem of sin is dealt away. The problem of sin is it. Solved. And therefore we have hope in his coming, that he will come again. And when he comes again, we shall be with him in heaven. So this is the message for us, that Jesus is truly the true priest. The priest in the Old Testament could not solve the problem of sin. But Jesus, the true priest, has dealt with it once for all. May God bless us.
Amen.